So, hi everyone, and welcome to our presentation about TOLA, a unified interface for communication with network devices. My name is Tobias Berlin. I am going to tell you something about TOLA, and after that, Mika and Niklas are going to give you a live demo and will answer your questions. So, what is TOLA? Let me give you a short overview. Imagine you have your monitoring server, for example, Itzinga or Nagios, and you want to monitor your network devices. In this case, a switch from Juniper or from other vendors, for example, Cisco. And you have some generic requests that you want to send to those network devices, and you expect some generic response as well. But of course, the different devices from different vendors on different types only support some specific requests. For example, this Juniper specific request. And then the devices answer with a specific response. This holds as well for Cisco and other devices. So how can we translate those generic requests to the specific requests and responses? And well, therefore we can use TOLA. So TOLA translates, TOLA knows how to communicate with those different types of devices and knows where to find your information, your data that you want to monitor on those devices. So why is TOLA that awesome? We support communication for devices from different vendors, for example, Cisco, Juniper, Huawei, and so on. And on the other hand, we support different types of devices. So for example, switches, routers, directional radio components, and UPS, so uninterruptible power supplies. We also have an easy way for adding new types of devices. So you can just, if we have another device that we don't support yet, you can just add a new one. We make usage of different protocols, for example, SNMP or HTTP. On top of that, we also plan to add more protocols, for example, Telnet or SSH. We end up with a compiled binary, so in our case, a Go binary, that you can just execute. So you have no external dependencies to other libraries or something like that. You can just execute the binary. You therefore have low resources due to those non-existing external dependencies. And last but not least, it's of course open source. So if you have any ideas for new types of devices or new features, then you can just write issues or pull requests and we will look at them. So how to use TOLA? You can basically use TOLA as a command line interface. So you can just type in some commands. We have various subcommands and you get your information. TOLA also supports a REST API mode. So you can spawn a REST API and a very small TOLA client binary can then communicate with this API. TOLA outputs its check results as the check plugin format. So you can integrate TOLA into your monitoring systems, for example, Itzinga or Nagios. And those monitoring systems can read the check plugin output from TOLA. We also plan the integration into other monitoring systems, for example, Prometheus. But this is coming soon. This is still in development. So let me give you a short overview over the modes of operation that we support. We have the basic normal TOLA command and we have various subcommands. For instance, identify. This is just for basic identification of this device. So we get, for example, the vendor of this device, a device class, serial number, and so on. We then have the read subcommand with, again, various subcommands, for example, CPU load. So we can read in this case, the usage of the CPU and other values that you want to monitor, for example, memory usage or interfaces. So you can just have a look what kind of interfaces do exist, and you can read out additional values for those interfaces. For example, the traffic counter or operation status and so on. Then there's the check subcommand. This is probably the most relevant one. Again, you can check, for example, CPU load. So you can also enter various thresholds. So Tola will give you a warning or a critical message if your CPU load that is currently on this device is above a certain threshold. Same holds for memory usage and interface metrics. So you can see if the traffic counter of an interface, for example, is too high. Then we are currently working on the write subcommand, but this again is still in development and coming soon. So the first example of a subcommand is tool identify, as I already mentioned. You can use it to automatically identify a device. So in this example, we want to identify the device behind this given IP address. And then Tola gives you, on the one hand, the class of this device. In this case, it's an IP10 device from Ceragon, and outputs as well serial number OS version. Then Tola read as the next subcommand, in this case Tola read interfaces. Again, it reads out some special interface informations from this device. And yeah, we end up in this view. So you can see this device has 8 interfaces and some relevant information from these interfaces. Tola check. So Tola check outputs its data in the check plugin format, and you can use this output in monitoring tools, as I said before, for example, Nagios or Isinga. So in this case, Tola check CPU load checks the CPU usage of this device. We can also input these warning and critical values. So if the CPU load that we read is higher than 85, we get a warning, or if it's higher than 95, we end up in a critical message. So in our example, the CPU load is at 91%, so we give Tola gives a warning. Then, as I said before, Tola also has support for REST API mode. And with this Tola API command, we can start and configure our API. The Tola API command basically spawns a server running on, in this case, port 8237, but you can specify the port on your own if you want. And if once you spawned the Tola API, you can use the Tola client to communicate with the API, and you can basically let the API do all your communication. So we want to identify our device with our Tola client, and we therefore have to specify where the API is located, in this case at our own system at port 8237. And of course, we get the same results as with the normal Tola binary. So, how do we separate different types of devices? We therefore introduce device classes. So, device classes consist of two parts. on the one hand, some conditions for a device to be assigned to this class. So when can we say that this device belongs to this class? And also we specify the available operations for this device. So what can you do? What can you read out from a certain device? And you can also specify what types of requests can we perform for some generic operations. Device classes are ordered in sort of a hierarchy. So we start with the generic class. This class just contains some basic information that are relevant for all types of devices. And the next level of our hierarchy is basically the separation of all vendors that we support. For instance, Junos for the Juniper devices, CiraOS for CiraGon, and so on. But in some cases, it might be helpful to have an even finer separation. So some devices from the same vendor have some different behavior, and therefore you can specify even more device classes that inherit some information and introduce some more information or data. Device classes are written in YAML files, so the entire logic is in those files. They, of course, are easy to write and are not bound to a programming language. They also are embedded in the binary, so they are not some you don't have some external dependencies to some external libraries. They are compiled within the binary file. You can extend those classes with code. So if some device has very weird behavior at some point, you can extend the YAML files with some code communicators. In our case, this is Go code. So this is one example for a device class, in this case for the iOS device class. We see the conditions. So when can we say that a device belongs to this iOS device class? On the one hand, the sysobject ID might start with a certain value, in this case this SNMP OID, or the description of the device matches some value, in this case begins with the Cisco string. This is one example for model identification. So we want to read out the model of our device. We therefore just perform a simple SNMP get on this given OID. And we slightly modify this result that we receive. We just replace this regex, this Cisco prefix with just a null string. So let's now continue with a short live demo.
Hello, I'm Mika, one of the main developers of Tola, and today we are going to give you a short introduction to Tola. I'm together with Niklas. Hi, Niklas.
Hi, yeah, I'm Niklas. I'm also one of the developers of Tola, and yeah, let's go.
So, I have a monitoring environment, and I have a new device under the IP 192.168.164. And I don't know its vendor or model. And yeah, can Tola help me there, Niklas?
Yeah, like Tobias already showed in his presentation, there is a command Tola identify that can be used to identify devices and determine some of their properties. Like we see here, your device is from Juniper. It runs the operating system Junos. And it's a VMX with the here given serial number.
Okay, thank you very much. This is very helpful information. So now I need to monitor my new device. Can Tola help me with that too?
Yeah, sure. Tola offers some checks that can be executed on devices. If we just type Tola check, we can see which check modes are available. These are all the check modes that can be executed right now. For example, if we want to monitor the CPU load of your device, we can just use Tola check CPU load and enter the IP address. And here we see the current CPU load is 1%, so it's all okay. Yeah, if we want to add some thresholds, this can be easily done with command line flags. For example, we can say the warning threshold is 70% and the critical threshold is 90%. And if we execute this, we see check is still okay. Yeah, same goes for memory usage. We just have to change our check mode, which is now check memory usage. And we see the current memory usage is 53%. If we now lower our warning threshold, for example, to 50%, we see our check is now warning. Yeah, because the memory usage is beyond our threshold.
Okay, that's very nice. That's a lot of information I get from Tola. Can I also change the output format, or how is the output format per default?
Yeah, of course. Like we see here, our default output format for checks is the Nagios check plugin format, but we can simply specify it by using the --- format command line flag. For example, we can use JSON, and yeah, our output will be returned as a JSON string. Or we can use XML, for example, and we will receive an XML output.
Okay, that's very nice for parsing and using the data elsewhere. Nice. So I now need also not just need to monitor the CPU usage and memory usage. I also need to monitor my interface statistics like error counter and usages. Can I do that with Tola too?
Yeah, we also have a check mode for reading out some metrics for the interfaces of a device. It's simply called Tola check interface metrics, and this will basically output all available metrics for all interfaces as performance data, like we can see here. So it reads out every available counter, interface status, and many more metrics for every interface.
Yeah, that's really nice. So I need to get along and use Tola in my environment with Itzinga. So how are the best practices when it comes to using Tola in a monitoring system and environment?
It's the best way to use Tola is actually by using its API mode. So there's a special command, which is simply called Tola API, which will start Tola in its API mode. I will just add a flag for logging, --- log level. So we can see a little bit of output on our command line. And we see here the Tola server is started. And we also initialized a database which is used for caching. So we don't have to identify every device at every request. Now we can simply use the Tola client binary to contact our API, for example, if we want to check the CPU load again, but this time using the Tola API, we can simply use Tola client, check CPU load, enter our IP address again. Okay, this is not the IP address. It's 129.168.164. And we now have to specify a target API, which in this case is just HTTP localhost and port 8237. And we see the check is executed, but not locally, but it's sent to the API. And we see some logs right here, what exactly Tola does with the request.
So that's really nice. So just one process is handling all the loads and the other ones are very lightweight to just send a request to this API?
Exactly.
Yeah, very nice. So I can just open one port in my monitoring environment and get all my statistics over just one port on which is Tola running.
Yeah.
Very, very nice. So do you also have an example how this looks in a running environment with Itzinger or something like that?
Yeah, I have a small Itzinger environment running. We can have a small quick look at this. So right here we have two hosts, which are basically relevant. This is a Cisco switch, which should be monitored by using Tola. We have two Tola checks running right now. This one is Tola CPU load. It's basically the CPU load check that I just showed. We see here Itzinger has the performance data. CPU load is 5% right now. And if you click on inspect, we can see it's basically running the command that I just showed. The target API is running on the IP address 10.0.0.2 on port 8.2.3.7. And we also have this host, this IP address as a host in our Itzinger. We can have a quick look at this host as well. It's the Tola server. And we have a special check to monitor our Tola server, which checks some metrics. It checks if the Tola server is running. Here we see it's running since today. And we get some metrics like the total request counter, the successful requests, and for example, the average response time which the server takes to process a request.
Okay, this looks very nice. I think I'm going to use Tola in my environment. Thank you, Niklas, for your demonstration, and let's get back to Tobias. Bye.
Bye.
So, before we come to an end, I want to mention our GitHub page. So we are always looking forward to see your contribution. If you have any ideas, just write a pull request or an issue at our github.com/inexio/tola. And yes, this is basically all I have to say. Thank you for your attention. And of course, stay open source. If you do have any questions, now it's the time that we can answer your questions. Thank you.